And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And we are brought to you by the Till Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Till Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till Kilt girls. For more on Till Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And ladies and gentlemen, today is Wednesday, November 16th. I know I was supposed to do the NWHL episode yesterday. That is going to be part of today's episode. When you work 11 hours in one day, and then you also got to be able to watch the Caps game, which you get home just in time to see, recording session does not happen. And, you know, it's just been hectic with work and also getting ready to leave for New Jersey tomorrow for DerpyCon. So we're going to jump right into it. We're going to start off with November 9th in NHL News and Notes, and then we're just going to go in that order of by day. We will have four segments for you today, NWHL being one of those four segments. So without further ado, we're going to hop right into it with November 9th. After the St. Louis Blues tied the game with 2:11 remaining in the third period, but Artemi Panarin would score 25 seconds into overtime to lift the Chicago Blackhawks to their seventh straight win. Also, Columbus would defeat Anaheim 3-2 in overtime. Ottawa would defeat Buffalo 2-1 in the shootout. The Florida Panthers acquired defenseman Dylan McElrath in a trade with the New York Rangers for defenseman Stephen Kampfer in a conditional seventh-round pick in the 2018 NHL draft. The Chicago Blackhawks unveiled their 2017 NHL Winter Classic jersey for their Monday, January 2nd matchup versus the St. Louis Blues at Busch Stadium. The jerseys are exactly the same as the 2015 Winter Classic jerseys versus the Washington Capitals. Only true change is the main crest logo, which is from the 1950s and 60s, from when legends Bobby Hall and Stan Mikita played. The St. Louis Blues also unveiled their Winter Classic jerseys, which is a recreation of the club's inaugural look from the 1967-68 season, featuring historically accurate fonts, team striping, ribbed crew neck collar, vintage blue color in the original Blue Note crest from the first season. On November 10th, forward Tyler Ennis of the Buffalo Sabres was announced as out for several weeks after having groin surgery. The results for that day was Boston 5, Columbus 2, Minnesota 4, Pittsburgh 2, San Jose 4, Florida 2, Winnipeg 3, Arizona 2, Anaheim 4, Carolina 2, Montreal 4, LA 1, Nashville 3, St. Louis 1, Detroit 3, Vancouver 1, Tampa Bay 4, the Islanders 1, and Dallas defeating Calgary 4-2. Then on November 11th, both the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators improved their impressive home records to start the season. Morgan Rielly set NHL career highs for assists with 3 and points 4 in a game when the Maple Leafs scored 4 unanswered goals in the third period to rally past the Philadelphia Flyers 6-3 in the Hockey Hall of Fame game. Trailing by a goal, Zach Smith tied the game at 16:06 of the third period, and Mark Stone scored the go-ahead goal with 6.5 seconds left to help the Ottawa Senators pass the Los Angeles Kings 2-1. Also, in other results, New Jersey defeated Buffalo 2-1 in overtime. Andy Green scored on a penalty shot in overtime to win the game. Colorado defeated Winnipeg 3-2 in overtime, and Dallas defeated Edmonton 3-2 in regulation. Also that day was the Washington Capitals at the Chicago Blackhawks. Lineups for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie. Marcus Johansson, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Tom Wilson. Andrei Burakovsky, Lars Eller, and Justin Williams. Daniel Winnick with Jay Beagle and Zach Sanford. The defensemen were Dmitry Orlov with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby in the net. For the Chicago Blackhawks, they had Nick Schmaltz with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, Artemi Panarin with Marcus Kruger and Marian Hossa, Andrew Desjardins with Dennis Rasmussen and Richard Panik, Ryan Hartman with Vinny Hino-Stroza and Jordan Tutu. The defense pairings for Chicago were Duncan Keith with Brian Campbell, Michael Kempney with Brent Seabrook, Gustav Forsling with Nicholas Halmerson, and Corey Crawford in the net. In the first period, Evgeny Kuznetsov would be called for holding at 5:38 into the period. While shorthanded, the Capitals would score at 6:17 when Jay Beagle would get his second of the season from TJ Oshie and Matt Niskanen in their second and sixth, respectively. However, shortly thereafter at 6:39 on the power play, Brian Campbell would score his second of the season for Marian Hossa and Gustav Forsling to tie the game up. But then it would be Jay Beagle striking again at 14:44 with his third of the season from Daniel Winnick and John Carlson, their first and sixth of the season, respectively. At the end of the first, the Capitals would be up 2-1 over Chicago. Chicago was out shooting the Caps 13-8. Faceoffs were 10-9 in favor of the Blackhawks. Hits were tied at 8 apiece. And on the power play, it would be the Blackhawks 1-for-1, and the Caps had not had a power play. In the second period, the only thing that happened was Lars Eller being called for tripping at 15-10. So at the end of the second period, it'd still be 2-1 Washington. Shots were tied at 21 apiece. Blackhawks had the faceoff advantage at 19-17. And hits were tied at 13 apiece, whereas on the power play, the Caps still did not have one, and Chicago was 1-for-2. Then at 19:37, into the third period, so with 23 seconds left in the regulation, Marian Hossa would tie the game up with his eighth of the season from Artemi Panarin and Duncan Keith. So the game would be tied 2-2 after the third period. Shots were 34-27 in favor of the Blackhawks. Faceoffs were 28-23 in favor of the Blackhawks. Hits were 25-16 in favor of the Caps. And the Caps would still not have a power play, where the Blackhawks were 1-for-2. In overtime at 2:20, Marcus Johansson would score his seventh of the season from Dmitry Orlov, his third of the season, to win it for the Washington Capitals 3-2. Shots were 34-28 in favor of the Blackhawks. Faceoffs were 29-24 in favor of the Blackhawks. Hits were 25-16 in favor of the Caps. And the Caps did not have a power play at all that game, and Chicago was 1-for-2. So a great win for the Washington Capitals over a team like the Chicago Blackhawks. Obviously, no analysis for me on it because I did not see the game. I was in Waldorf, Maryland, working the MCW Pro Wrestling show for the Autumn Armageddon Tour. So with that, we'll come back from break. When we come back, we'll go over Caps, Hurricanes, and other NHL news and notes. Plus, also down later on in the episode, we also have the NWHL report, also known as NWHL Tuesday, when we do it as its standalone episode. So we'll be back from the break. Looking for something exciting to do the weekend before Thanksgiving? Then come to DerpyCon. DerpyCon, which is November 18th through 20th, 2016, at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey, comes to special guests like Todd Haberkorn, Vic McNoya, Uncle Yo, and many more. For more information and the purchase tickets, visit DerpyCon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans. And it is now time to go into the Capitals game against the Carolina Hurricanes on Friday, November 12th, or Saturday, November 12th, my bad. Now, please note, once again, just like with the Blackhawks game, I was unable to attend that or watch that game due to me working with MCW Pro Wrestling this time in Frederick, Maryland, as we closed off the Autumn Armageddon Tour. And of course, you know, I'm not just at these shows doing nothing. You can actually listen to my podcast, The Experience, which is also the official podcast of MCW Pro Wrestling. I do the pre and the post show for MCW. Now, for the Caps versus the Hurricanes in Carolina, the lineup for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, Marcus Johansson, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams, Andrei Burakovsky with Lars Eller and Tom Wilson, Zach Sanford with Jay Beagle and Daniel Winnick, Dmitry Orlov with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Nate Schmidt, and Philip Grubauer in the net. For the Carolina Hurricanes, it was Jeff Skinner with Victor Rask and Lee Stempniak, Tuukka Teravainen with Jordan Staal and Sebastian Aho, Brock McGinn with Derek Ryan and Elias Lindholm, Joachim Nordstrom with James McClement and Victor Stahlberg, Jacob Slavin with Brett Pesci, Noah Hanifin with Ron Hainsey, Klaus Dahlbach with Ryan Murphy, and Cam Ward in the net. And then in the first period, Matt Niskanen would be called for delay of game 9:30 into the first period. Then at 12:02, Evgeny Kuznetsov would score his second of the season from Dmitry Orlov and Matt Niskanen in their fourth and seventh, respectively. However, 35 seconds later, Sebastian Aho would score his first in the NHL from Jordan Staal and Tuukka Teravainen. And then at 17:01, Tuvu Teravainen would score his first fourth of the season from Sebastian Aho and Jordan Staal. So Carolina would be up 2-1 after the first. Shots were 16-6 in favor of the Hurricanes. Faceoffs were 9-8 in favor of the Hurricanes. And on the power play, the Caps did not have one, and the Hurricanes were 0-1. Then in the second period, Alex Ovechkin would be called for slashing 4:36 into the second period, which on that power play, Jordan Staal would score his fifth of the season from Elias Lindholm and Tuvu Teravainen. Then Claes Dahlbeck would be called for holding at 8:17. But then at 10:37, Victor Rask would score his sixth of the season from Claes Dahlbeck and Lee Stempniak. Dmitry Orlov would then be called for tripping at 12:47. At the end of the second period, the Hurricanes would be up 4-1. Shots would be 31-16 in favor of the Hurricanes, 23-12 in favor of the Hurricanes in faceoffs. The Caps would be 0-1, and the Hurricanes 1-3 respectively on the power play. Then in the third period, 2:48 into the period, Tom Wilson would be called for cross-checking, and Elias Lindholm would be called for holding. Then at 6:46, Nicholas Backstrom would be called for hooking. Then at 9:17, Matt Niskanen would be called for interference. Then at 16:10, Sebastian Aho would score his second of the game and of the season from Tuvu Teravainen and Jordan Staal. Then Claes Dahlbeck would be called for tripping at 16:28, and then Evgeny Kuznetsov called for slashing at 18:36. The Carolina Hurricanes would go on to win the game 5-1. Shots were 38-21 in favor of the Hurricanes. Faceoffs were 34-21 in favor of the Hurricanes. And on the power play, the Caps were 0-2 and the Hurricanes 1-6. Like I said, I did not see the game. I never got a chance to look at highlights, but you could tell the Caps did not show up to play, and it was not a good game for the Washington Capitals. So definitely a bad one for the Caps, and they got to be able to regroup. And of course, in NHL news and notes, on the 12th, Carolina Hurricanes forward Brian Bickle has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and will be out indefinitely. Bickle hopes to be able to return to the Canes this season. Obviously, best wishes to Brian Bickle as he goes through this recovery on his multiple sclerosis diagnosis. The Montreal Canadiens raced to a 3-0 lead in the first period, and Carey Price made 25 saves as Montreal improved to 10-0-0 at the Bell Center this season, establishing a franchise record for consecutive home wins to begin a season. Also, the Columbus Blue Jackets erupted for 8 goals, highlighted by a 4-assist performance by Cam Atkinson, to earn their 5th consecutive victory at Nationwide Arena and improve the 5-1-1 in their past 7 games. Other games that day, obviously the Canadiens defeated Detroit 5-0, and Columbus defeating St. Louis 8-4. You also had the Florida Panthers defeating the Islanders 3-2 in overtime, Pittsburgh defeating Toronto 4-1, the Rangers defeating Calgary 4-1, New Jersey defeating Buffalo 4-2, Boston defeating Arizona 2-1, San Jose defeating Tampa Bay 3-1, Philadelphia defeating Minnesota 3-2, and Nashville shutting out Anaheim 5-0. Then on the 13th of November, Patrick Kane deked through multiple defenders for a highlight reel go-ahead goal to hand the Montreal Canadiens their second regulation loss of the season and help the Chicago Blackhawks extend their point streak to 11 games. Chicago would go on to beat Montreal 3-2. Then Winnipeg would defeat LA 3-2 in the shootout. Vancouver would defeat Dallas 5-4 in overtime. Minnesota would defeat Ottawa 2-1 in overtime. Boston defeated Colorado 2-0, and the Rangers defeated the Oilers 3-1. And then on November 14, Philadelphia Flyers goalie Michael Neuwirth will miss 4 to 6 weeks with a lower body injury. Neuwirth was injured during the Flyers 3-2 win against the Minnesota Wild on Saturday. He stopped 6 of 7 shots during the first period, but did not return for the second period. New York Islanders defenseman Dennis Seidenberg is out indefinitely and was placed on injury reserve because of an upper body injury. Seidenberg was injured in the third period of the Islanders 3-2 overtime loss to the Florida Panthers on Saturday when he was hit in the chin by a shot. Also, the NHL 3 Stars of the week ending in 11-13 were announced. The first star is Tuukka Rask, goalie of the Boston Bruins. Rask went 4-0-0 with a .75 goals against average and a .970 save percentage and 2 shutouts to lead the Bruins to 4 wins in 5 games, as well as second place in the Atlantic Division. Mark Scheifele, of the center of the Winnipeg Jets, was named second star of the week. Scheifele shared second place in the NHL with 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points in 4 games to propel the Jets to 7 out of a possible 8 standing points, as well as second place in the Central Division. Then you had Pekka Rinne, goalie of the Nashville Predators, taking up the third star place. Rinne compiled a 3-0 record with a .67 goals against average, a .976 save percentage, and 1 shutout to guide the Predators to 3 wins and 3 starts. And lastly, the Arizona Coyotes announced they are in plans with Catellus Development Corporation, the master developer for the Arizona State University Athletic Facilities District, to work toward a 16,000-plus seat arena with an attached 4,000-seat multi-sport facility in Tempe, Arizona. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, we'll be back from the break. And when we come back, we'll be doing the NWHL report covering all 3 games plus their Player of the Week announcement from this past weekend. And with that, we'll be back from break.
Tilted Kilt Girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans, which is brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. And of course, now it is time for the NWHL report. Normally we do this on Tuesdays for NWHL Tuesday. However, due to circumstances, I was unable to record yesterday. Also, we have a new sponsor for NWHL Tuesday, which is Farpoint. Farpoint, which is February 17th through 19th, 2017 at the Radisson Hotel in North Baltimore in Timonium, Maryland. Come see special guests like Sam Witwer, Enver Jokai, and many more. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to farpointcon.com. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, now it is time to talk about the NWHL. We took 2 weeks off from them because of their Four Nations Cup break, starting off with the New York Rivers versus the Buffalo Buttes this past Saturday, November 12th at the Harbor Center in Buffalo. And this game is pivotal for the New York Rivers because they have yet to win a game this season. So going into the first period, it would be, as I look for penalties, okay, there we go. In the first period at 4:25, New York Rivers would get a goal for number 18, Rebecca Russo, which would be assisted by Tatiana Rafter and Rebecca Morse. Then at 7:41, Kaylee Fratkin, to start off at 1:19, Buffalo Buttes player Emily Janigo would be called for tripping. Then the goal at 4:25. Then at 10:29, Michelle Bicard will be called for holding for the New York Riveters. Then shortly after that, on that power play, Corinne Bowie would score for the Buffalo Buttes, assisted by Courtney Konechka and Lisa Chesson. Then at 13:49, the Buffalo Buttes would then take the lead when Emily Janiga would score, assisted by Devin Skeets and Cheyenne D'Arcangelo. Then in the second period, there'd be no penalties and no scoring. Then in the third period, at 3:18, Madison Packer, the Riveters, be called for hooking. Then at 5:33, Megan Bozak of the Buttes would be called for cross-checking. Then at 6:56, Malika McMillan would be called for body-checking. Then at 7:21, Corinne Bowie would be called for holding. And then at 7:41, Michelle Bicard would be called for tripping. Then shortly after, on the power play, Kaylee Fracken would score on the power play for the Riveters, assisted by Kira Dosdahl and Rebecca Russo. Then at 18:27, the New York Riveters would ice the game as Maya Deonch would score a goal, assisted by Kaylee Fracken and Aleska Grushko, thus winning the game for the New York Riveters 3-2. Stats for this game, as I can look for them. Don't have a shot summary at all in front of me, unfortunately. Shots were 27-19 in favor of the Buffalo Buttes. For the New York Rivers, this is huge. They get their first win of the season, and it's a great way to start things up after coming back from the Four Nations Cup break that was going on these past 2 weeks. Then in our second game on November 2nd, it was the Connecticut Whale versus the Boston Pride. The Boston Pride, obviously undefeated so far this season. They want to keep that going. Connecticut Whale want to ruin that. Going into this game, Boston would be getting Hillary Knight back into their lineup after missing the first four games due to injury. In the first period at 4:26, Dana Trevino would be called for hooking for the Whale. Then at 4:50, Megan Duggan would score on the power play for the Boston Pride, assisted by Blake Bolden and Alex Carpenter. Then at 17:26, Rachel Lannies of the Boston Pride would be called for tripping. Then in the second period, there would only be penalties, one on Boston's Emily Field for holding, and then one on Kelly Babcock of the Whale for slashing. Then going into the third period at 3:14, Ivana Billick of the Whale would be called for tripping. Jordan Smelker would score on that power play for the Pride, assisted by Casey Bellamy and Brianna Decker. Then at 9:21, Hillary Knight would score at heave and strength, her first of the season, assisted by Jordan Smelker and Blake Bolden. At 15:56, Alexandra Bender of the Pride would be called for tripping, and at 18:53, Shannon Doyle of the Whale would be called for holding. Boston would hold on to win the game 3-0. Shots were 29-26 in favor of the Pride, so the Boston Pride move on to 5-0. For the season thus far. Good news for the Pride, especially getting a player like Hillary Knight back into their lineup. And then in the third game of the weekend, which was Sunday, November 13th, it would be the New York Riveters versus the Buffalo Buttes once again at the Harbor Center in Buffalo, New York. And after the New York Riveters getting their first win, they obviously wanted to ride that momentum into this game. And in the first period at 9:59, New York Riveters would get a penalty when Madison Packer would be called for tripping. At 10:50, while shorthanded on this penalty kill, Janine Weber would score, assisted by Maya DeOnch and Michelle Picard. Then going into the second period, Malika McMillan scored on the power play, because at 25 seconds into the period, Devin Skeets would be called for body checking. So Malika McMillan would score 43 seconds into the game on the power play, assisted by Janine Weber and Kaylee Fracken. Then at 2:31, Malika McMillan would be called for tripping. Then at 5:43, Madison Packer would be called for hooking. At 6:53 on the power play, Corinne Bowie would score for the Buttes, assisted by Courtney Konechka and Kelly Stedman. Then at 13:01, the Ashley Johnston of the Riveters would be called for holding. On that power play at 13:08, Megan Bozak would score on the power play, assisted by Kelly Stedman. Then at 14:20, Cheyenne D'Arcangelo would be called for slashing. And then at 16:03, Kelly Stedman would be called for body checking. Then in the third period, 4:21 into the period, the Buffalo Buttes would be called for too many men on the ice. Then at 6:29, the Riveters would be called when Rebecca Morris got called for holding. And on that power play, Corinne Bowie would score yet another power play goal, assisted by Megan Bozak and Courtney Konechka. Then at 10:19, the Buffalo Buttes would get a penalty for called on Christina Lovey for tripping. And at 17:48, at even strength, Madison Packer would score, assisted by Rebecca Russo and Alexa Grishko. Then going into overtime, because the game was tied at 3 apiece, there would be no penalties called, but at 3:17, Cheyenne D'Arcangelo would score, assisted by Kelly Stedman and Emily Falzer, to win it for the Buffalo Buttes in this game. So the Buffalo Buttes would win 4-3 in overtime. However, you have to give it to New York Riveters in this one, as they used that momentum from the game the day before and brought it into this one. The only thing is, though, is that they let it start slipping away and they're taking penalties. Corinne Bowie, two consecutive games, three power play goals for her. So Corinne Bowie is, for the Buffalo Buttes, is a very dangerous player. She has three power play goals in two games. That is amazing. And honestly, in my personal opinion, she would be my player of the week because three power play goals, two of them in one game, one of them helped kept them in the game, take the lead back, and then the other game helped them get back into the game and then eventually led to their eventual victory in the second game. So me, it would be Corinne Bowie as the player of the week, but the NWHL just named Brittany Ott of the Buffalo, the Boston Pride, my apologies, the player of the week. As I pull up that news right now, Brittany Ott, player of the week in the NWHL. She shut out the Connecticut Whale 3-0. This Saturday, it was her first shutout of the season. Who currently leads the league, leads all league goalies in wins at 4-0-0 this season. So congratulations to Ott for that. But personally, I think it would be Corinne Bowie who should have been the player of the week, in my personal opinion. And then, of course, for the NWHL coming up this weekend, they got two games on Sunday, November 20th, the Boston Pride at the Buffalo Buttes at the Harbor Center. And then, of course, at 4 p.m., the Connecticut Whale at the New York Rivers at the Barnabas Health Hockey House in Newark, New Jersey. So with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to have more NHL talk and Caps game breakdowns. And with that, we'll go to break. Looking for hockey cards to build your collection, or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans. And it is now time to do a little bit more NHL news and notes. This past Monday, the 14th, the Hockey Hall of Fame inducted four new members to the Hall of Fame. The Hockey Hall of Fame inducted three players, which were Eric Lindros, Sergei Makarov, and Roji Voshan, and one builder in Pat Quinn, and also honored two media members, Sam Rosen and Bob Verdi, as a part of its class of 2016. The only speech I got to watch was Eric Lindros, but that was the only player that interested me because I grew up watching Eric Lindros as a kid. The only game that took place was the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the New York Islanders. The Tampa Bay Lightning defeated the Islanders 4-0, sweeping the season series versus the Islanders. Yes, this early already, they have swept the season series with the New York Islanders already. And, of course, then you had November 15th, apologies, yeah, the Washington Capitals versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. Lineup for the Caps was Alex Ovechkin with Jay Beagle and Andrei Burakovsky, Marcus Johansson and Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Zach Sanford with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Daniel Winnick with Lars Eller and Tom Wilson, Dmitry Orlov with John Carlson, Carl Alsner and Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Taylor Chorney, and Philip Grubauer back in the net for the Capitals for a second straight game. Then for the Columbus Blue Jackets, you have Brandon Saad with Alexander Wennberg and Nick Foligno, Boone Jenner with Brandon Dubinsky and Cam Atkinson, Matt Calvert with William Carlson and Josh Anderson, Scott Hartnell with Lucas Sedlak and Sam Gagner, Zach Werenski with David Savard, Ryan Murray with Jack Johnson, Marcus Nutivari with Dalton Proud, and Sergei Bobrovsky in the net. And ladies and gentlemen, in the first period, nothing happened. And when I say nothing, there were no penalties, there was no scoring. It was almost downright boring. And shots, the Capitals had 6 and the Columbus Blue Jackets had 5. Both had won 10 faceoffs, and hits were 12-7 in favor of Columbus. No team had a power play, and neither team scored a goal. Going into the second period, though, things came a little bit more alive. Brooks Orpik would be called for tripping at 6:47, then Ryan Murray would be called for tripping at 8:18. At 15:43, Nicholas Backstrom would score his second of the season from Brooks Orpik and Taylor Chorney, their fourth and first of the season, respectively. Then Lars Eller would be called for hooking at 19:15. At the end of the second period, it would be 1-0 Washington. Shots were 19-12 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 23-18 in favor of the Caps. And hits were 19-11 in favor of Columbus. On the power play, both teams were 0-1, with Columbus having their second in progress going into the third. Then in the third period at 8:06, Daniel Winnick would be called for tripping. Then at 13:02, Zach Werenski would score his fifth of the season from Willem Carlson and David Savard. At 13:55, we almost had a goal by Nicholas Backstrom, but it would be called back due to offsides. Then Ryan Murray would be called for tripping at 14:25. At the end of regulation, it would be tied 1-1. Then in overtime, 37 seconds into the period, Cam Atkinson would score his fifth of the season from Brandon Dubinsky. Columbus would go on to beat the Capitals 2-1. Shots were 27-22 in favor of Columbus, 13-3 alone in the third period in favor of Columbus. Faceoffs were 29-27 in favor of Columbus. Hits were 23-16 in favor of Columbus, and the power play was 0-2 and 0-3 for the Caps and Blue Jackets, respectively. This was not a great game for the Washington Capitals. They could have played a lot better than they did in that game, but you know, they gotta go out and they gotta play for it, and they did not. They looked like almost like a defensive structure team flat out in that game. Then, also in the NHL, the Panthers stopped Price's bid at history. Florida Panthers defenseman Aaron Ekblad scored his first NHL overtime goal despite breaking his stick on the play to hand the Montreal Canadiens their first home loss of the season at now at 10-0-1. The Panthers were also the last team to defeat the Canadiens at Bell Center dating back to last season, which was April 5th. Carey Price, the first NHL goalie to start a season with 10 straight game wins, or start with a win in 10 straight games, made 20 saves but fell short of tying George Hainsworth's 89-year-old Canadian single-season record of 11 consecutive wins. Also, you had the Ottawa Senators defeating the Philadelphia Flyers 3-2 in the shootout, Carolina 1-0 over San Jose, Toronto 6-2 over Nashville, Tampa Bay 4-3, St. Louis over Buffalo 4-1, Calgary over Minnesota 1-0, Winnipeg over Chicago 4-0, New Jersey defeating Dallas in overtime 2-1, Colorado defeating Los Angeles 4-1, the Rangers defeating Vancouver 7-2, and Anaheim defeating Edmonton 4-1. And then, of course, the Winnipeg Jets in their game defeating the streaking Blackhawks. Connor Hellebuyck turned aside all 27 shots he faced, and four different skaters scored when the Winnipeg Jets extended their own point streak to 5 games and ended the Chicago Blackhawks run at 11 games. And of course, in other news and notes around the league, if I can get this thing to actually move with me, you had a few major injuries get announced in the NHL. Johnny Gaudreau of the Calgary Flames is out due to a broken finger, if I can get it up. And he's going to have surgery on that, on the fractured finger. He had it today to repair a fractured finger sustained against the Minnesota Wild on Tuesday. At this time, there is no timetable for Gaudreau's return. It can be 4 weeks, it can be 6, you don't know, in regards to a hand injury kind of like that. Also, Taylor Hall will be out 3 to 4 weeks after having successful knee surgery to repair a torn meniscus in his left knee. He did not play in a 2-1 overtime victory at the Dallas Stars on Tuesday after practicing with the Devils on Monday. He flew with the Devils to Dallas, but on Tuesday morning informed trainers something was bothering him, and he flew back to New Jersey for an MRI, thus proceeding to have him get the surgery. And then in a major blow for the Tampa Bay Lightning, Steven Stamkos will be out indefinitely after tearing a lateral meniscus in his right knee during a 4-3 win at the Detroit Red Wings on Tuesday. They're at the process of evaluating options for repair and rehabilitation. They do not know how long Steven Stamkos could be potentially out yet. Also, it is confirmed that on November 22nd at 8:30 p.m., the Las Vegas franchise will be announcing their official team name and logo and jerseys to the world. And then, of course, negotiations for participation of NHL players in the 2018 Pyeongchang Olympics continued Wednesday with a meeting at the league's office. The morning meeting included representatives of the NHL, NHLPA, and International Hockey Federation, as well as Hockey Canada and USA Hockey, and lasted into the afternoon. There is the following the meeting, the NHLPA union rep, Donald Fair, acknowledged a report by Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet that said that in exchange for the league's willingness to go to the 2018 Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea, the NHLPA would agree to extend the collective bargaining agreement for an undetermined length of time. Rumor has it 3 years. And I'm going to be brutally honest, that's nice that they want to do it, but it's freaking stupid. It is stupid. I don't like it. I don't want the players going to the Olympics anymore. It is something that the players should not be doing, period. Anybody who should be screaming out loud hell no to that is one team, is obviously is the New York Islanders, because, hey, maybe if they didn't send John Tavares to the Olympics, they might have had John Tavares to go for a serious playoff push, and they could have been in the playoffs 3 consecutive years instead of 2 because of him blowing out his knee at the Olympics. Plus, the whole taking the almost an entire month off in the middle of a season is stupid as well. So I'm against this idea. I think it's stupid. It's poor. And if they do it, I will not watch the Olympics once again because I don't like the NHL players playing in the Olympics. End rant. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, I'm Michael Lindenbaum. You've been listening to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans, which is brought to you by the Till Kill in Frederick, Maryland, the Till Kill Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kill girls. For more on Till the Kill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And as always, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Experience Hockey and Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And until next week, when I return from New Jersey and DerpyCon, we'll see you on the ice.